with a damp out today. Yom HaGshamim is a bracha. It's a bracha day. Day of bracha.
We need water.
You need water? You need a cup of water?
No, I'm saying...
You have the Shemitah?
Yeah. Eretz Yisrael needs water.
Shemitah is the year of Shefa. So we're going to learn our halachot regarding neighbors, yeah? The Shemitah, just in the Shemitah. So Hilchos neighbors. There's Hilchos neighbors. Halachot regarding your neighbors. Okay, let's see. It says here,
neighborly cookbook for cooking your neighbors.
Cooking your neighbors. Thank you for the shmata. Oh, now I can see you guys clearly. Here. It says in the Mishnah, "Tzuru ezoi derech tova shidbak ba'adam." Go out and see what's a good way that a person should choose to do in life. What's a good way? Rabbi Yossi says, "Shachen tov." Yeah. A good neighbor. Ahinu sheyeh be'atzmo shachen tov. What does that mean? The person doesn't mean to cleave to a good neighbor. Also, tov la'tzadik tov l'shchina. But it means you should be a good neighbor. We're not talking about what others have to do to you. We're talking about what your obligations are towards your neighbors. Okay. Sheyeh be'atzmo shachen tov l'shchina. One should be a good neighbor to all of his neighbors. בחר היותו טוב אהוב נאמן לחמישה בני אדם או שמונה בני אדם או לשמונה קרוב אליו הדבר לאהוב את כל העולם יצא מאושר וכל מיני צוות קיצור it's one of the ways that a person people will love him like Rabbeinu Abinat and Rai also when people love you you act nicely people like you so then you could be able to מקרב them bring them close to Hashem. טוב שכן קרוב מאח רחוק. It says in Mishlei, the Pasuk, better to have a good neighbor close to you than a brother which is far from you. Why? Because your brother who lives in a different country or in a different city, he doesn't know what you need, can't help you. But your neighbors, if you have good neighbors, they can always help you. Like we see in a lot of good, nice neighborhoods, when the lady gives birth or when Chas Shalom is sick, so there's people who take care of and needy families, right? So there's people who take care of that. Why, that's called good neighbors. You want to be a neighbor like that. You could also be in a neighborhood which no one cares about you, no one knows who you are. I lived in a neighborhood like that too. I even lived in a neighborhood once. I had a crazy neighbor. And every time the door used to slam a little bit, he used to go and slam his door 10 times. Yeah, after 10 months we left. One of the reasons was the neighbor. And then the other apartment I lived in, I had a neighbor across the building right in front of me. You could see him from my window. And they used to curse and say, Mishigan. Until Hashem brought me here, Baruch Hashem, good neighbors. Yishtadel Adam Shiye Shachen Tov Velo Yigrom Nezek Yishchina Bechol Inyan Shu. A person should try it. Make an effort to be a good neighbor, not to cause any damage to his neighbors. ויש לי זהר מיוחד בענייני נזיקים, especially in ענייני נזיקים, right? Things that damage financially, paying people, you have to pay them money. Okay. Now we're going to go through the הלכות. שמירת השקט. Keeping it silent. אסור לאדם להרעיש בתוך ביתו רעש החורג מן המקובל, כאשר רעש זה מפריע למנוחת ולשלוות השכנים. A person is אסור, it's a prohibit, it's אסור, not allowed to make noise in an extreme way, in a way that it bothers his neighbors. But let's say it's Purim now, and from all the houses now there's loud music bouncing from the windows. Stand up, so you're allowed to put out music that loud, but it's time on a regular day. You'll be bothered other neighbors. They don't want to hear your music. You like your music, keep it for you in your ears. You don't have to, not everyone needs to hear it. Okay. If someone is, you have a neighbor who's sick, or he's sensitive more, or he's older person, more sensitive to noise, so you have to be even more concerned. I can tell you more, maybe talk to him here. Huh? On what? No, it's noisy. I don't want to hear no your songs. I want to sleep. I don't want to hear your songs. You're going to hear the song. Even, I'm talking about religious songs. Not religious songs. You want to make music, close your windows, put it as loud as you want. If the neighbors doesn't bother them, don't do something which is extreme. Even if it's a shiur of Shalom.
Or fireworks going off until like midnight.
You have good neighbors, that's why. Ahmed and Muhammad and
Oh, fine.
You going outside?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Location.
Ah. Echo Sheva? Echo
location?
Ah, no. Bashut? No, yeah. Lemala. Bashut, no.
Yeah.
Ah.
Keep crying. Keep crying.
I wasn't worried until I saw an old man walking down the street with pairs of animals coming after him.
The guy I saw the fish swimming after him.
If there's normal noise coming out of the apartment, even though it bothers the neighbor, then you should tough luck. For example, your neighbor is very sensitive, and you can't stand that when you're using the food processor. He has a problem. You're allowed to use the food processor, right? You're allowed to use your shoyev avak, your vacuum cleaner. You're allowed to use it, even if it bothers the neighbor.
Well, not at 2 in the morning.
No,
exactly. Normal hours, like Friday
but
morning.
But if you have your son, he wants to now have a drum set in the house, that's a problem. It's a halachic problem. You have to have a basement if you want to have a drum set in the house.
The miklat.
Miklat, yeah. Somewhere else.
Actually, that's perfect for a drum set.
Okay, miklat is good. Not in the house. עכשיו, המנהג שהתקבל באותה מדינה באשר לשעות המנוחה הוא המנהג המחייב על פי דין תורה ואותן שעות אין להפריע את מנוחת השכנים. The מנהג of the מדינה regarding the hours of rest, that's the halacha. That's the halacha. So in Chile, for example, they have a siesta. They do from 12 till 5 or something. They don't work. They rest. I don't know what they do. So you can't bother the neighbors then. They're resting. But in Eretz Yisrael, after 7 o'clock, it's already daytime. Until 11 o'clock.
They're boiling their water for 5 hours.
No, it used to be here in Israel. In some places, it still is.
You do it for
2 and 4. Quite.
Yeah, it's true too. And but another thing I want to add. If you're in a neighborhood with his children, so even if the law lets you till 11, you have to, with that building your sukkah, like we said, even if the law lets you till 11 o'clock to bang the hammer, but there's children sleep. There's children which are going to sleep. You don't sleep at 8 and 9, so you should be concerned. You should care for them also. Okay. If someone has... He lives there somewhere. He opened the store in his apartment. Right? And people are going in, going out. Going in, going out. All day. The neighbors are allowed to tell him to close the store. Because it's a residential area. We don't like people coming in, going out, going in all day. It's not comfortable for us. It's a place, it's an apartment building. And if you want to open a store, go open a store somewhere else. Not in our building. Okay, the neighbors are allowed to be again.
Maybe he has like a permit and everything.
A what?
Like a permit, like from the government.
To open, no one will give you to open in your own apartment.
But you know, like in apartments, you sometimes, you know, main lobby or whatever.
No, that's normal maybe. If it's a mekubal, if it's normal. So that's all right, but if it's something stamp.
Like you can't have a law office in your apartment.
If you have an air conditioner and it's starting to break down, it's doing boom, 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 boom. So you have to fix it. You can't just. I remember one Shabbos, my neighbor put on his air conditioner, and it was heat or cold. I don't remember, but it was on, and it was clinging the whole Shabbos, cling, 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 cling. The thing was something moved and it was touching the metal the whole Shabbos. Me didn't bother, but he came over and he said, "I'm so sorry. It happened during Shabbos." He apologized. Asalacha. He fixed it, Baruch Hashem. You'll have to put an alarm in your house and in your car, even though when it goes off, it'll make the neighbor's crazy. You'll have to. Sometimes when the thunder, the cars also go off, you know? They're sensitive cars. There's thunder, there's a shake.
Oh, earthquakes.
Earthquakes, of course.
Even the cars don't have those alarms.
No?
Because it's
disturbed. What do they have?
Yeah, the lights just flash.
But this time it's not effective, right? The car leaves, and if someone's stealing the car,
they have a tracking device. Lojack, that's what it's called.
There's a guy in Yeshiva who told me he had a tracking device. It's called saying thank you for half a year, and then you get your car back after an hour stolen. You were here, you heard the story?
Yeah, he told it on me.
Yeah. I said it.
It's on the podcast.
No, you didn't hear the story?
Yeah, it's on the podcast.
You heard it. Ooh. He didn't hear it.
JerusalemCast.com.
He has a very fancy car, man. A Mercedes or something, very fancy. Very expensive. And then he got married and he became an Avrech, the Chuvai, you know. And his wife told him, listen, as an Avrech, I don't think it's so nice. You'll drive in such a braggy car, it's showing off. He said, fine, I'll sell it. So he put a notice on the car. He's selling the car. And one of our cousins called him and said, I want to buy the car. I said, I have the money, cash. Let me see it. Fine, no impression. After a week, he met him. And the guy is telling him, I want to press the gas or whatever. So he sits in the thing, and the Jew was outside the car. And he pressed the gas. He put in drive and press the gas and left. So he went to the police and he said that they stole my car. Police wasn't going to go look after the cars. Who knows where it is? So he decided, I'm saying thank you, only thank you. I'll challenge him to say thank you. He said thank you. Every day he said thank you, thank you, thank you for a long time. And the day before he tells the story, police called him and said, we found your car, but it changed colors. It was red and it changed to black. But it's exactly the same car and nothing went wrong. Everything works. Everything's okay. It's the same car. Maybe the kilometers went up, but just the color changed. He said, fine, it's not a black car. No. They gave him they found him in Turkadam somewhere. I guess it wasn't worth it, but they take it apart. It was a good car. Anyways.
He also said that the person fixed it up.
That was even better.
He told us, Rabbi, that when he got it back, it was a better condition.
Better, yeah, he's telling me, Rash, Ragil, Shevadim, Sarkino, Italian, no, Afrin, the Flink of Tin, Iran, and Sarah, the Ukraine, Fight, and Gun, Mishkin. If your kids are banging and bouncing up and down, if it's in hours which you're allowed to make noise, the neighbors can now come and they could come and ask, but they can't, what do you do? It's you. Hashem, I live on the first floor, so there's a machzan under me. I remember when we lived, when I was a kid, my mother was always concerned, don't bounce the ball and don't bother neighbors. But you're allowed to. Okay. But obviously, if you know Shabbos and stuff like that, people rest more in the afternoon or whatever. Of course, the person should be more concerned. Be a mensch, for kids. you have a simcha in your house, of course, make sure that it doesn't go till 2 a.m. Remember, I have neighbors in my... I don't know them all. We have neighbors in the neighborhood. American young couples, and they invite you out. There's a lot of bachurim. And they sing. But I allow that. It's good. I love their singing. They sing the whole, for hours. Beautiful. That's a good noise, no? It's a good noise. It's just seven. So I'm learning Gemara here. There's a thing called a Zekriya and a Zek Shmiya. Zekriya, damage by sight. A Zek Shmiya, damage by what you hear. What do you mean? אסור להסתכל לתוך דירת שכנים, מאחר ועל ידי כך מגבילים את שימושם של אותם שכנים בדירתם, ומונעים מהם את השימוש בנכס השייך להם כרצונם, בפרט כשמונעים מהם שימושים שהצינה יפה להם. טוב, it's obvious. You can't look into your neighbor's house, yeah? Can't deny to look into your neighbor's house. That's פשוט. Especially, what's the damage that could happen? So the Gemara says already, they shouldn't bring down that when someone knows that someone's looking at the apartment, he feels uncomfortable due to certain things they would have done in the apartment. And that's damage. Yeah? That's damage to the apartment. For example, he knows that you're looking at the apartment. So, and let's say he teaches dancing or something, I don't know, he's embarrassed that people are looking at it. So he can't work his certain hours because he can't use the house the way he wants. He can put up a curtain, it's true too. But the halacha is that the mazik needs to put on a curtain, not the nizak. The one who's damaging, he's the one who needs to put up a curtain.
Yeah, why do one of these ones to just be like sleeping
around? Okay. You let us stand by your window and look outside, yeah? Not to stare now into someone's house. Okay. If your neighbor, he broke down the walls between the apartments and he built a new wall. But he built a thin wall. A good wall, but thin. Now you can hear the people talking in the house. It's not such a thick wall like it was. You can't force him to build a better wall. But it's not a nice thing to do. It's a gnai, and it's not a good thing. The apartments are Neretz Chepetz, if anyone knows what that is. They're built like that. Someone sneezes and the neighbor sneezes, you could say Gesundheit. It's very thin walls over there. Yeah, if you have a merpeset, right, and you're hanging laundry, and the person under you has a merpeset a little bit bigger because he has to build a stucco there or whatever, you have to make sure that you don't put wet things that are going to drip down or colorful things that are going to now make colors on his thing. Okay? It's halacha. And if you did, and you or even if it's not, if it's let's say you washed a colorful clothing. Colors, which the dye is still coming off because it's new, and he has white clothing down there, and it dripped on him, and he destroyed them. You're obligated. The neighbor upstairs is obligated to pay for his shirts, for his undershirt, whatever he damaged. Okay.
You have to bring that to a rabbi to do this.
You go to Dayan. You go. Let's go ask her up. And whatever, you go to the Rav who knows Dinei Mamonot. If you decide, if both of you decide, this is a good Rav, we rely on what he says, you don't have to go to the Rav even. You can go to your friend, if he knows Halacha. But you have to both decide that he's accepted on us. If not, take it to business. Now, if it dripped. The neighbor didn't have anything on his line. And it dripped and it dirtied the line. Okay? So, to be the lion. But then a neighbor came, didn't realize, and he hung his clothing over there. And then it damages clothing. It's putter. Why? It's a grama. I didn't do anything. You didn't see that. It's dirty. Fine, I made it dirty. But you didn't see that. You hung the laundry. It's not that I dripped onto your laundry. So then it's grama bin zakim and grama patur.
The lines are normally dirty anyway from the dust and...
No, but sometimes that's beseder. That's not dirt. That dirt that comes off. Some dirt. It's like from dye and stuff. It destroys the clothing. I remember my neighbor, I had a neighbor upstairs that when she washed the floor, the water came down, was straight onto my laundry. So we went upstairs, we told her, just tell us when you're going to do it. We'll think. So every time she wanted to wash, we told her, either she looked, it's empty, or she asked us if we'll take it out.
I have a question. Two people, they're in a dispute and they decide to go to a rav. But one side says, I think we will go to the rav, but I'm saying that I'm not obligated to go by his opinion, whatever he says.
What's the point of going to the rav? He did not accept he doesn't have to do what the Rav says. He wants to go to a different Rav? Fine, let's go to a different Rav.
In other words, if they both decide to go to
Rav,
then really they both have to decide to listen to what
they have to accept this Rav, what his stock will be. When I bought an apartment, a house, a long time ago, and we wrote in the contract that if there's any problem, we go to a certain Rav and we accept what he says. That's what happened at the end. We had to go to this Rav and we accepted what he said. Accept it. It's written in the contract. You have to accept what the Rav says. If you say, I don't accept what the Rav says, so what's the point of going to the Rav? It's time to hear that story. Okay. You're allowed to do that, but he's not obligated to. He did not accept him. It's not a Beis Din. Beis Din is three.
There's no point
in
going in the first place.
It's true. But if he goes to a Beis Din, then he has no word. He can't say, I don't accept what the Beis Din says. Beis Din is what Hashem said. Beis Din, if you go to Beis Din and you tell Beis Din, I wanted this guy, and Beis Din sends a message to him that they come in a certain date. If he doesn't come, he's a cherem. The Beis Din will put out signs against him. He can't get marry him, and you can't give him aliyah, and he can't be a tenth of a minion, and he can't stand in his four amos, and a lot of bad things. Can't hire him, anything.
One side can go to the Beis Din and try to get the other side to come.
Yeah. Also, if he doesn't listen to the Psak of Beis Din, they could also do a Chayim on him. They put a sign that this guy, he doesn't listen to what Beis Din says.
They've actually done that.
They've done it many times. They do it also with the husband who doesn't want to give a get to his wife. And then they also bring the government in when it's a get. That they take away his account and a lot of giving fines and all that.
Yesterday in the news, said that the person who does not get a get to his wife will not get Mahajran food in jail. And he will not be able to go to be put in the Torani section.
Very good. Maybe if he goes to Torani, then they'll give a get to his wife. So, interesting. So, that's not our job anyway. Get there. If neighbors have clothing hanging and they fall, sometimes clothing fall down when you hang them. Happens to me all the time. So the mitzvah of Shabbat Tavei, they go to the neighbors and ask them who does his underpants belong to. But the clips is a problem.
How is it when your clothes fell in the garden? Only if it's not your son.
The clips. How can he give it? Who knows who's what? There's all kinds of... But if you live in an apartment like mine, that no one hangs laundry above me, so anything which falls down is definitely mine. Anything which falls down is definitely mine. Also the clips is all mine. Definitely mine, because there's nothing, no one, there's a mepeset above me. So then, obviously, I can take it for myself. Matoma?
The seeds fell in the garden.
It's Hefka. The gardener? You take it to, you can use it at home.
So it can't.
If it's a public, there's a lot of stuff there? Yeah. No one. Yeah. If a certain neighbor is Manui. Manui Leiton.
Member?
Subscription to a paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a member, yeah. So he gets a newspaper every day. So it's still for you to take it out and read and put it back into the place, unless he has permission from him. But if it's a paper that everyone gets, like once a week they give to put out a paper and then all the thing, and you as your wife threw out because it doesn't let you read the paper, so then you're allowed to take my name and put it back. But it's not a private thing, it's a public thing. If you see a letter in your mailbox which doesn't belong to you, now I look who it's from or anything. You have to put it, you have to see where it goes to, and you put it in his mailbox. Okay. Now, if there's a lot of times, a lot of binyanim, a lot of buildings, there's a berez, there's a faucet on the bottom, which the cleaner uses it to clean the building. You're not allowed to use it to clean your car, to clean your, to water your garden, whatever. It's not your water. It's everyone's water. So it's still to use it for your personal use. You can use it only for the public use of the whole building. Okay. Now, a lot of times there's agalot in the building, right? Carriages, and there's bikes. So usually a neighbor sets a certain place where that's where you put the strollers, that's where you put the bikes. And that's what you should do, and not put it somewhere else. Okay? Unless the neighbors don't care. By us, they put a set, very nice, a certain room. It used to be the room of the kitol, where they used the heating, the central heating, but we don't have that anymore. They took the machine out. So they made it into a bike. Problem is, all the kids, they throw their bikes at the balagan. I can't put my bike there. I need to take it out also. The whole balagan. I put it in the morning. I come the next night, take it out. I can't get to it. It takes me time. And then I put it somewhere else, near the miklat. But then when there was the war, so then I moved it away so people don't fall over it if they run to the miklat. So, set up. Yeah. Now, if you go, this is a very important halacha. A lot of times, we borrow things from our neighbors. We borrow eggs, we borrow flour. Now, there's a halacha. You're not allowed to take from your neighbor if it's not enough for him. If he needs it, it's not enough for him. Now, it's called aruchah shenama spekit lebe'aleha. And therefore, you're not allowed to borrow. For example, you go now to buy eggs, and they have 10 eggs in the house, and that's their supper today. And they, could I have one egg? Now they have one egg left. And they have a family of 5 or 6 people. They want to make eggs. So you have to ask, do you have enough eggs that I can have one? Or you need the eggs? Okay? Or flour. Again, a lot of times they'll feel uncomfortable. They want to give you the flour. You have to make sure that, do you need it? You sure you don't need it? Make sure they don't need it before you borrow from them. And write it down. A lot of times for neighbors we forget. When I give something to a neighbor, in my heart already I'm mochel. If they give it back, thank you. If not, if it's, I mean, food and stuff like that. If it's my screwdriver, I want it back. There's a minag, and my wife does this, every Elul, to go through all the things in the house, all the books, all the stuff, and see who owns what, and give it back to them. Usually by us there's a pile of books. From here, from them. If your neighbors come and ask you for certain foods, right, and you understand, and they come a few times, and you understand from the fact that they're coming that they don't have, it's because they don't have food in the house, you should, ahead of time, already be moichel and say tzedakah. In your heart, say. Soon we're going to learn, later on, about ribis. If you borrow things, you have to make sure not to give back in ribis. For example, you borrowed a cup of milk, and you want to give a cup of milk, it has to be the same cup of milk. Because if you give them more than that cup of milk, you're over on the Yisro of ribis, you're giving them more than you borrow. So that's a guess, it's a ribis. It's Yisro de Raisa. So, okay. So, as you learn, eggs. Let's say I took a small size egg, but I buy large. So now, is it considered ribis? Not considered ribis. Well, that is return large or not? My friend, he lent me money. So I already planned something.
You're right.
What's that?
4:30.
What? No.
Later,
if you took an ivar and egg from your neighbor and he opened it and there was blood in there, you still have to return an egg to the neighbor. You took an egg from the neighbor and there was blood inside, you still have to return an egg to the neighbor. If you want, you can tell the neighbor, by the way, I found blood. And if she says, oh, you know what, so don't give me back, so fine, you should allow to be moichel. But you're obligated to give back the egg. If you bought eggs, you borrowed eggs in the small eggs, you could return, you should return small eggs, maximum one size larger, but not two size larger. You borrowed from someone small, you can return large. You can return medium, but not large. So, one size more, but still, it's more or less the same. A little bit bigger, I don't know, but if it's two sizes bigger, there's already a big difference. Stop the setup. Stop the other photo over here.